2. And it looks like Ignite are going to head out. You're going to listen. Great. We'll listen to the reading. And then it's time for Ignite to make their way out. That would be great.
Reading is from Luke chapter 10, verses 38 to 42, on page 1042 of the Church Bibles. That's Luke 10, starting at verse 38. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet, listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you're worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." This is the word of the Lord.
Well, do keep that passage open. That would be helpful for you, I hope. Don't let good things pull you away from what is the best thing in all the world. Don't let good things pull you away from what is the best thing in all the world. Now, professional athletes know that that's really important. Think of how they give up on many good things in order to pursue the best. Here's an extreme example. In the winter before he won his first gold, Sebastian Coe didn't allow the good things of Christmas Day to pull him away from his goal. He ran 12 miles in the morning. In the afternoon, he enjoyed a lovely Christmas dinner. And then he thought, "I bet Steve Ovett's out there doing his second training session." So he put his kit back on, faced the snow and ice, and ran several miles more. Successful people in every different field know the vital importance of not letting good things distract you from your goal, from the one thing that is the best. Now, we're not today thinking about worldly success. We're thinking rather about being a successful, or should I say, a faithful disciple of Jesus. So let's paraphrase that opening statement for what would-be disciples ought to perhaps think that would capture what is the meaning of this passage. So here it is on the screen. It's the second one there. Don't let good Christian service pull you away from Jesus' word as number one. Don't let good Christian service pull you away from Jesus' word as number one. Now, as we've been seeing over these Sunday mornings, Jesus, in this section of Luke's gospel, is teaching would-be disciples what it will look like to belong to him. The word disciple, as we learned last term, means learner. And today Jesus is telling us the one thing we need to learn, the best thing above all other good things. So have a look again at our passage. And I'm going to read it out so we can try and go in our mind's eye to the home of Martha and Mary. Verse 38. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." So remember, Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem, where he's going to die for our sins and rise so we can have life. And he comes to this house of the two sisters, and unlike so many that he's met on the way, they welcome him into their home. They call him Lord. They're disciples of Jesus. Let's meet the first sister, Martha, verse 38. Maybe she's the older one. She soon gets busy getting food and looking after Jesus. And then there's Mary, verse 39. All she does is sit at Jesus' feet, listening to what he says. And she doesn't say a word. Two sisters, two ways to respond to Jesus. Martha is doing what is really good. Now, looking after a guest in the old Middle East was really, really important. And this is no ordinary guest. It's the Lord Jesus. And he's on his way to Jerusalem. And in their understanding, that means he's going up to be crowned king in the capital. And so Martha wants to give him a royal banquet. She is doing a good thing. And so she's busy with lots of service, doing, as it puts it here, many things. But it's all getting a bit much. Look at 41. Jesus says, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and upset about many things." Now, many of you will no doubt identify with Martha. There are so many good things to do. There's this much stuff, and it feels like we've got this much time. And there are days when you really identify with that David Bowie and Freddie Mercury song, "Under Pressure." Maybe you have a long to-do list or an organizing app full of important and good things to do. Maybe personal goals or family responsibilities or church activities. All good things. But it's getting too much. But getting stressed out isn't the most dangerous thing that can result from this. Have a look down at verse 40. Martha is distracted by all the preparations. That's a really important word. Distracted from what, you might be thinking? Well, some have translated this word as pulled away. Martha's being distracted and pulled away from the most important thing of all, Jesus. She's dashing here and there, and it's pulling her away from Jesus while he's with them. The good things she's doing are pulling her away from the best. And that's dangerous, because Jesus is the one who gives us eternal life. So it's dangerous to be pulled away from him. And in addition, she's getting resentful of Mary. Maybe you know how this feels. It's not fair. When you think of those who don't seem to do as much as maybe you do, and they don't seem to be bothered to help you, or they just don't notice when clearly you need help, we can understand Martha all too well. She wants to do these really good things, and she's doing it for Jesus. And Mary is not lifting a finger. And so in verse 40, exasperated, she comes to Jesus and says, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." Don't you care, Lord? I wonder how often you've cried that out in your heart. Well, he does care, more than we can imagine. But his answer to our cry is, it's not what we want, not what we expect. "Mary, don't be so selfish. You can see all the things that need to be done, and look how stressed your poor sister is. Go and take your turn in the kitchen." But he doesn't say that. Although Martha has chosen what is good, Mary has chosen what is better. Listening to Jesus is the best thing, the one thing that is needed. Mary's chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. In the original language, it literally says Mary has chosen the good portion. You see, on that day, there were two meals being provided for, a physical meal and a spiritual meal. And Jesus is saying Mary's spiritual meal is much better, even than this lavish feast that Martha was preparing. You see, Mary had remembered those vital words from Deuteronomy that Jesus quoted. "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." Mary would have done better on that occasion if she'd nipped out to the bakery, bought a packet of bagels, brought them home to the living room, and they all shared them out together while they listened to Jesus. That is the one thing that is needed. But why? Why is listening to Jesus the best thing in all the world? Well, it gets to the heart of what a disciple is. A disciple is a learner, yes, but it's all about learning within this personal relationship with your master. That's what discipleship was in the ancient world. It's this vital personal relationship with Jesus as Lord is what it's all about. I wonder if anyone here is still maybe a bit new to Christian things, and maybe you haven't quite seen that it's this personal relationship with Jesus that is, in fact, what the Christian faith is all about. Jesus, in fact, describes eternal life as knowing him and his Father. So how do you enjoy this relationship, which is more important than anything else? Well, the disciple spends time with his master, learning from his life, and in particular, listening to his teaching, hanging on his every word. And Mary models that for us. Just picture in your mind's eye her posture. She was sitting at his feet. That signifies a humble approach. Not standing over his teaching in judgment like that religious expert last week, but sitting in humility before his word. And you can see that she's giving him her primary attention, her complete attention. That is the one thing that is needed. Now, of course, Jesus is not physically with us today. But apart from that, the relationship of disciple to master is exactly the same today. We need to come before him and his word, which we've got wonderfully in the Bible, with the same posture as Mary, that same posture in our hearts. Isaiah the prophet conveyed what God says about this kind of thing. This is what the Lord says. "This is the one I esteem, he who is humble and contrite in spirit and trembles at my word." Our relationship with our Master Jesus is founded on listening to his word. That's the one thing that is needed. Next week, we're going to see how we respond to that as Jesus teaches us about prayer. But this is the foundation. And remember, if you have any doubts that Jesus' word is the good portion, let me remind you some of the things that Jesus says about the words. Do you remember that time? He said, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will never pass away." Wow, how important is his word? And it's that important, of course, because it is a divine word. It's God's word, the same word that spoke and everything in the universe came into being. The same word that the Apostle Peter says in his letter enables people to be born again by the living and enduring word of God. Here's a quote from John Wesley that I love. He wrote this, "I want to know the way to God, the way of salvation. God has condescended to write it down in a book. Oh, give me that book at all costs. Give me the book of God." Or here is a guy called Martin Niemöller. He was a German Christian imprisoned by the Nazis. And this is what he wrote about God's word. "What did the Bible mean to me during the long and weary years of solitary confinement? The word of God was simply everything to me. Comfort and strength, guidance and hope, master of my days, companion of my nights, the bread which kept me from starvation, the water of life which refreshed my soul, and even more, solitary confinement ceased to be solitary." There's a man. Everything was taken from him except the word of God. Jesus' word was not taken away, just like with Mary. How wonderful it was for him. Well, how much more for us then? Do not let the good things pull you away from Jesus' word. Do not let good Christian service pull you away from Jesus' word as number 1. Because actually, all Christian service, all service of Jesus flows out of a relationship with him, if it's going to be doing any good. It all flows from his word anyway. But we still need to ask, how might we be pulled away like Martha was? Well, I mentioned before some good things like personal goals, family responsibilities, and church activities. Let's just briefly have a think about those. What about personal goals? A follower of Jesus is going to seek to do all their personal goals for him. So a career that you're putting your heart and soul into, you'll be doing it for him, I hope. A hobby, a lifestyle goal, or a charitable cause that you are living for. Now, of course, we may pursue these things apart from Jesus. And if so, Jesus would call us to repent. But let's assume we are pursuing those things as unto the Lord. Good things. And no doubt there's lots to do. I spent a year whilst training to be a vicar in a placement in a midweek church for city workers in London. And all the people there were people who worked very hard in good jobs, providing for their families, strengthening our economy. And it was so encouraging to see them manage to just carve out that half an hour a week to come and hear Jesus' word, because they knew they needed it to sustain them. I could see some of them were really overwhelmed and just sort of clinging on in the Christian faith. And there were some others who were just wonderfully, clearly doing all they were doing out of a living relationship with the Lord and were quite inspirational. We need to remember Jesus' word to Martha. One thing is needed, listening to Jesus. And that will help us to get all of these other good personal goals into a right perspective. Don't let good personal goals pull you away from Jesus' word as number one. If you're not regularly spending time in God's word, why not grab one of those explore notes that I mentioned before? Or if your current pattern of Bible reading is a bit stale or you're struggling, well, why not have a change? Why not try explore for a bit? Don't let the good pull you away from the best. And friends, if your busy personal goals are getting all too much, take a step back and make that radical change that is needed. You see, being pulled away from Jesus is the most dangerous thing that can happen to us. So remember Jesus' words to Martha. Well, more briefly, what about family responsibilities? Family can, and I hope for you, is wonderful. Can be wonderful. Though, of course, for many, it is a place of deep pain. But whether it's joyful or sorrowful, there could be so many important and good things to do there. And some here will be at the stage of life when it just feels overwhelming and you completely identify with Martha. Well, remember that one thing is needed. Remember, whatever needs your children have, their greatest need is for you and they to have Jesus' words in their lives. And I know that fitting that in is not easy. It really isn't. But just think, in eternity, what is your family going to be thanking God for about you? I doubt very much it's the great education that you ensured they achieved, as good as that may be. They will be thanking God that you taught them the Bible and that you lived it out in the home. So don't let good family responsibilities pull you or your family members away from the one thing that is needed. And again, if necessary, take a step back and take some radical action in your family life. Finally, church service. Now, there are so many good things to do in church. So many great things. And people often point things out to me that we could do better. Or wouldn't it be great if we did this? But your very good Christian service, which is warmly appreciated, and it's really important to say that because sometimes we can feel unappreciated. It is warmly appreciated. But even that good service can be pulling you away from the Lord. As vicar, I also feel like you that there's this much to do and there's this much time. And And of course, you know, people come with their requests and their suggestions. And you know what? That often, probably most of the time, they're not to do with the Bible teaching. You see, there are a great many good things that a Christian leader can be doing. But the one thing, there is one thing that is needed. Our own listening to the word and our own proclaiming it effectively. Aside from my life, that's the most important thing you need from those of us up front, that we are putting Jesus' word first. Now, Jesus is not against all the good acts of service we are doing. He is for it, emphatically so. But he warns us, if these things are pulling us away from him, all of us in church need to take Jesus' words to Martha to heart. And again, if necessary, take some drastic action. Only one thing is needed, listening to Jesus' word. Some of the good things we could do, well, I hope we will do. But it may be that God is saying, not yet. Listen to me first. And in the meantime, bagels, not a banquet, may be quite good enough. So as we finish, don't let good Christian service pull you away from Jesus' word as number one. His word is what gives us eternal life. His word is what keeps us going and helps us in all we do. And if we're going to take him at his word and listen to him, we can be really encouraged. It will not be taken away from us. There's so much else we can do. But just think about this, what Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. When I spoke earlier in the year, using this passage as well, I reminded you of that game, you know, where you've got a bucket and you've got some big rocks and some medium-sized stones and some sand, and, you know, how do you fit it all in? Well, of course, you put the big rocks in first. How are we going to fit everything in our busy lives? Well, we need to put the big rock in, the one thing, listening to Jesus in his word first, and all else will fit around it. Put Jesus' word first, and everything else will find its right and proper place. Let's pray. One thing is needed. Father, we thank you for the love of the Lord Jesus, and we thank you for this wonderful gathering in Martha and Mary's home where we have learnt so much. Please help us to take it to heart. May we listen to Jesus' word more and more. And will you bless us by that, Lord, as a church, as individuals, as families, in all our goals, in all of our lives. Please help us. And we ask this in Jesus' precious name. Amen.